I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Friday morning. Good Friday morning. Hello. Is this thing on? I hope you're having a nice start to the last day of this week before the weekend comes. It's a long weekend. Labor Day weekend is here. Good morning. Hello there. How's everybody doing? I hope that this finds your day off to a good start. I'm a venti coffee in. I'm just going to let you know. I've got coffee flowing in my bloodstream. I'm feeling good. Oh my goodness. Jessica just finished a 16 miler. Good Lord, Jessica, congratulations. That is a significant commitment to running on a Friday. I am hanging out, ready for one of my favorite humans in the entire planet, Mr. John Acuff, to jump on in so that we can have ourselves a Friday conversation about literally nothing. Heidi and I, in real time, we're recording content for our upcoming fitness and nutrition course. It's going to be awesome. I'm super, super excited about it. It's this idea where, like, she is the master, I am the newbie, she is teaching me how to continue this transformation that I'm on with my physical health, my understanding of how food works in my life, all that kind of stuff. It's been awesome, and we are just a day into what is multiple days of filming. So yeah, we'll let you know how to sign up when the time comes. We're close. It's gonna not be until maybe 3.5 weeks till now. The idea is ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Are you running for local, city board? Is there, a school council seat that's come open?
I'm trying to be an alderman. I'm running for alderman. I don't know what that is, but
I don't know what that alders, is either.
If there's some alders, I want you to know I got you. I got your back.
I feel like we have to figure out what an alderman is, but, I mean, you are bringing the heat today, man.
I didn't even tell you. I just showed up fully suited. Ready to go.
What is the pin, by the way?
It's whatever their brand is, but occasionally people tell me, I know there's a story there, and I feel like I should make one up and be like, actually, my grandfather got this when he was in the war. He did fight in World War II. He drove a tank at 18 against Nazis. So whenever somebody whenever I feel like my life is tough, I'm like, yeah, I wish my grandfather was still alive and I could be like, things are terrible. He'd be like, I was 18 and drove a tank against actual Nazis. So stop. I'm sorry that your Wi-Fi is out. I'm sorry that somebody was mean to you on Instagram, but tell me some more about your troubles.
I want it to be like a Freemason or the thing in National Treasure where there was a secret society.
I know where the real Constitution is. It's in a cave. I can't tell you.
Right. That's what I want.
Okay, have you met Nicolas Cage? I feel like you probably met him.
I have not met Nicolas Cage, and I wish I could say I had, because that would be one of those weird, he lives in a universe that he believes we all live in, but is exclusive to him.
I would love to. That's a great, and he, is a comic book collector. Every now and then I'll find some story where it's like, he owns the East Coast's most samurai swords, and you're like,
I don't know if you ever you go on a website and there's those little ads at the bottom that are clickbait, but yeah. I saw one time that was like, do you know where Nicolas Cage's fortune has gone? And I was like, well, I need to know now. I mean, I don't know, so I need to know. He has bought more crazy /interesting stuff than any single person on the planet. And he is just proud. He's, I think, proud of that samurai sword collection. You could have that same conversation 15 times about 15 totally random things.
Yeah, he actually, his comic book collection was valued at $1.2 million. And he had the original Superman comic where it's Action Comics and Superman is holding a car above his head. And he was gotta have it. And so I do like people who create their own universe and are comfortable in it. Like, not in a like stab you way, but like in a like, I do, like, I make my own rules. Like, I just do my thing. Like, I respect, when my ultimate goal is to be comfortable in my own skin and to like the things I like and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing.
This is what it is. He seems comfortable in his own skin. Yeah, I also does. Like, when we have a conversation like this, the first thing I go to is, what is he doing this morning? Like, what this morning is he doing? Did he wake up in a silk robe? Probably.
Did he wake up and feed a Komodo dragon?
Probably.
There's a first question for you. Is there a worse gift that's ever been given than Sharon Stone giving her husband a exclusive backstage tour of the Komodo dragon pit in Los Angeles, upon which he got bitten the foot and had to have a surgery? Is there a worse gift? Can you think of one?
Number one, I've never heard this story in my life.
God, I'm such a giver. This is why I can't find
Sharon
around
Stone town. Brought her husband as a gift to a Komodo dragon showcase.
At the
and
LA
on the showcase, he was bitten the foot.
Yeah, so like they have some enclosure where they have Komodo dragons and you get a tour, which I'm assuming they've canceled. I'm assuming it's like San Diego Zoo or LA Zoo, one of those zoos. And he got bit in the foot and had to have foot, like, pretty extensive foot surgery, because that's how they kill their prey with his, they have bacteria in their mouth. I know a lot of things that aren't helpful. I don't know the names of most of the streets in my neighborhood, but I know that Sharon Stone did that. I don't know what to tell you.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. So I can't think of a worse gift when somebody was like, you know what? This isn't what I wanted. Like, it's not what I... But when they say, what do you get for somebody who has everything? I guess the answer is a Komodo dragon tour.
No.
No.
We buried the lead just a little bit. We acknowledge that you look handsomer than you ever have and that you could be running for alderman, whatever that ends up being. Yeah. But why, like, did you, like, sleep in this suit or did you, like, actually put it on for a reason today?
I just came from a virtual event. So I had a 55-minute virtual event. It's in Tampa. And I recorded an event for somebody, for an organization in Tampa. And so I went to the studio and I was like, you know what? I'm already in the suit. It'll be a nice change. Maybe class up the joint a little bit. And so I stayed a little in the suit. Yeah.
The white shirt really brings out, I mean, business, which is, I think, a thing that you're looking for when you're going to have a conversation with anyone in Tampa.
You would trust this collection, like this collection of ideas. You'd be like, you know what? It's like, if somebody has a British accent in America, we assume you're smart. Like, Australian,
for sure.
New Zealand, British, no one outside of this country hears my accent. Like, no one in Slovenia is like, ooh. Wait a second. That's an American. Like,
this haircut, that suit, you'll be taken seriously in easily 70, 75 countries, which is
what
I'm here for.
That's what
Real
I mean.
Quick, question for you when it comes to these conversations. Do you, like, cater your conversation to the people in Tampa, to the Tampa-based company's issues, or are you doing something that's a little more consistent to speech and then doing Q&A?
No, I do a pre-call. The key to a good speech is a pre-call. I have a set of questions I ask that are baller questions. Here, I'll give you one question, just a little sample. I say, if you imagine a keynote as a spectrum, as a line, and one end of the line says instruction and one end says inspiration, where do you want it to land?
Ooh.
It's a clarifying question. They'll go 80% inspiration, 20% instruction. So then, you know, I spoke to a group of nonprofits today, so I'm able to go, I was in Tampa Bay recently. Here's this. My brother has a nonprofit. Like, no, when you customize it, it tells everyone in the room, you don't just have a stock speech. Nobody likes stock photography. Nobody likes stock speeches. So it's the same thing you do. It's like,
I love that. Can I tell you the most important question I ask in the pre-call?
Oh, what?
What is the thing you want to say to your team that you cannot say because of your position, but that I can say on your behalf?
Yeah, that's good. I'll tell you my most important question. Is there, and there 90% of the time there's not an answer, but I say, is there anything I shouldn't say? And they go, oh, because sometimes they've just had a layoff. Sometimes there's something in the community. And I asked that question to a digital media conference. They said, don't say radio is dead. They say people come in and they're so excited about the internet that they say radio is dead and half the audience works in radio. And dude, the speaker before me in Q&A, they said, what's the future radio? And he said, no future. And you could feel the room change. And he was like 24, so he clearly knew the future of radio. But I was like, oh. So, dude, half the time there's not an answer, but sometimes I'll tell you, don't say the word, like a recycling company told me, don't say the word junkyard to describe what we do. It makes it sound like we have sleeve tattoos and pit bulls. And we do highly scientific work. And I was like, boom. Last one, a chimney sweep event told me, whatever you do, this is for chimney sweeps, do not mention Mary Poppins. They said, whatever you do. And I was glad because I thought that was like their LeBron James, but they are chimneyed out. They want no part of Mary.
No more.
That woman, yeah. So,
you can keep Dick Van Dyke. You can keep the whole thing. It's fine. We're
so
full.
That's why I'm in a suit, but I do have great questions. I'd love to jump in with one of them. You're in book mode, which is exciting. There's a energy to releasing a book. But my first question is, what's the best documentary you've seen lately? Like 6 months, a year, a documentary, you're like, oh, that was interesting. What's a good documentary?
The best documentary, the one that like stuck with me, of course, I can't even remember the stinking name, was the one on Netflix that was all about the way the algorithms of social media totally
Social dilemma.
That like, if there was a thing that I think every human being needs to watch, Social Dilemma is wild because it will change the way you think about allowing access to the internet to your kids. Yeah. Because yeah, it's just, they are controlling what you see, creating an echo chamber, making you feel however you're feeling. Yeah. And that is, it's terrifying.
Yeah, that was a great one. I would say my answer is Val, V-A-L, Val, about Val Kilmer on Amazon Prime. Wow.
I've heard this. I gotta watch it.
It's something, dude. Like if you grew up with, you know, when we grew up, you're like, oh, he was in that. And he's got throat cancer, so he can't really talk anymore. And it was really powerful. And I did see a comment. Somebody said, can we talk about that John looks like Jamie Tart's brother? I do get that once a week. Somebody who likes Ted Lasso will say, hey, you look like Jamie Tart. And I'm always like, he's in really good shape. So I'll take that. I think it's the chin. It's the strong alderman chin. A lot of people don't have a strong, like, if you want to be an alderman, a lot of it is like your chin.
You know what? Now that I see it, I can't unsee it. And you need to get a little bit of your eyebrow shaved out.
I did that in high school. Freshman year of high school, I shaved a stripe into my eyebrow. I got made fun of, so I lied and said that somebody did it to me when I fell asleep. Bit of a Samson story, biblical, if you will. I said, Carrie Kerpopoulos, who was my neighbor, did it while I was asleep. The rumor got back to her. She yelled at me in the cafeteria in front of everybody. I ate in the library for a week. I was so embarrassed. That's what we call a short story about John something. And I put a Band-Aid over it first. Like it was a
mistake.
Yeah, I should have asked you that. Okay, ooh, there's a good follow-up. Worst hair decision you've ever made?
This is easy. I mean, like I've been cutting this hair now since 18 months in. I feel like I've gotten a little bit of a handle on how to do it, even though we can argue, Dave, every once in a while, maybe you ought to go to an actual barber.
Yeah.
Fair. But at the very beginning of the pandemic, my hair was pretty long on top, long on sides, and I shaved what ended up looking like a mohawk into my hair. And I now look back at that window of time, and I'm embarrassed for everyone involved, and mostly me.
Could anybody tell you that? Like, were you in a place where you could receive that feedback?
Well, I mean, Rachel decided to divorce me about a month after that haircut. So I'm not saying that they were correlated, but I'm also not saying that they aren't correlated.
Was that in the papers anywhere? Was there like a follicle section of the
It wasn't directly referenced, but there was a modest implication that haircut choice may have been complicit.
There's just a Polaroid of you asleep that somebody had taken that was like, Exhibit A. Can we talk about his scalp? And he was like, whoa.
I don't know what I was thinking. The thing is, I carved this haircut, and I actually, in the insanity of that beginning window of pandemic and quarantine, I was like, you know what? This looks pretty good. And now I look back and I'm like, where are my people? Where are the people in my life that could tell me that I had some salad in my teeth? Because that was salad.
Yeah, that was a lot of salad. And it was deliberate. Like, you, when you get salad in your teeth, you didn't put it there on purpose. Nobody's like, let me jam that kale in.
No, but I'm walking around bragging like there was a reason for me having a blacked out tooth with a little arugula. No.
Oh, that is challenging.
How about you?
eyebrow definitely, but when I was in like eighth grade, I got a Nike swoosh mark shaved into the back of my head. Cause I was like, when you ball like I ball, I mean, when you're, you know, when you're 5'1" and 93 pounds and you play, I played 90 seconds the entire season of the eighth grade basketball season. I think they just kept me around for jokes.
Huge.
Like I don't know why I was like, shave a Nike swoosh. Like, it's time. Like, ball don't lie. Ball don't lie, and I got one. So, like, I don't – that's probably the dumbest. Although I'm still pretty young. I can still do something terrible in a couple of years probably.
The thing that I am just shocked by in real time is that each of my children, at least the older two, they are growing their hair out. I've never seen a thicker head of hair on human beings than what Jackson and Sawyer, my oldest kids, have on their head right now. Yeah. And they're just owning it.
Yeah. And I respect that. It takes some bravery.
It's wild. I mean, like, it feels like they're going to be embracing leather bracelets and maybe even a necklace.
You have
some
one
point
on right
here.
Now? You still got one?
It's off in the other room. I was working out. I know.
Okay. That's it's a little. Okay. Hard. I actually had a workout question on here. How
Let's
many
go.
Push-ups could you do in a row right now? I don't do them, but I mean, like, how many could you do?
37.
37 is pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. 37. Yeah,
I like that. My dad taught me a push-up challenge where you see if you can do 100 push-ups in 5 minutes, which sounds super easy. And you can divide it any way you want. You can do 30 right out of the gate, take a break. Like, you have 5 minutes. Some people do 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. But, like, by those last few, you're like, 5 minutes is a short amount of time. It's kind of a base level of strength. Can you
have
do
you ever done an exercise cycle called Tabata?
No.
It's that's not it. Like the Macarena, though. I know your brain jumped immediately to it.
Is that the forbidden dance?
That's the forbidden dance. Tabata is actually just a workout thing that has some high-intensity interval training. But, like, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, and you repeat it 8 times for 4 total minutes.
Ooh.
And I've done push-ups as a part of that, where, like, it's 20 seconds of push-ups, 10 seconds off, 20 seconds of push-ups. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh, what's 20 seconds of push-ups?
Yeah.
Nothing until round five.
Yeah. Yeah,
round
it's
six,
hard.
Where your arms are just like, what happened to you? Why are you doing this?
I love that you've done something called Tabata. I love that you're exploring that. Are you still in Arizona? Is that Arizona?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Arizona. Heidi and I are actually shooting a bunch of content for a fitness and nutrition challenge. We're going to do like a pre-holiday 8 weeks to, you know, body sculpt and getting fit and knowing how to eat well, which is great. But there's just a ton of content that we're filming. We're doing like 60 days of workouts. So there's a video for every single day. So we're filming it in real time. But this is one of those things where, like, I am the neophyte newbie. She has 20 years of experience. And so part of it is, like, I get to ask a ton of questions and she gets to educate me, and then maybe the audience gets to learn along with me.
Dude, I love that. And you'll get in shape doing it. It's always good to do projects that make you better.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, next question. Maybe you can't share this one. What's the name of your fantasy football team?
Well, the fantasy football team now is called the Hollis Hoodlums. And that's only because, let's be clear, I had a name for years that was less appropriate. When you become a father of smaller children requires that you change the name.
Yeah, okay. Because they asked me, I'm in the league with you, and they asked me, they sent me an email yesterday. We're like, what's the name? And then 3 hours later, sent me another email, what's the name? I didn't realize we're talking 3 hour turnarounds on these fantasy questions. That's pretty fast.
This is a very serious league. Yeah. I have been in this league for 18 years. You've been jumped into an 8 years in league.
Well, and that's where I was like, what name can I pick that like, so I just named it Ipswich. That's where I grew up. It's my favorite place in the universe, Ipswich. And it sounds like it could be a Premier League football team.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this guy's British. They don't know me. I mean,
they don't know you from anything.
I could be British. This could be like a soccer thing. So my
I do love John's note. So I invited him to a Disney league that I've been in forever. And your note was, I sure hope Bob Iger's in here. And I was there was an owner at one point named Robert Schmiger. So no relation.
Yeah,
and
my expectation was the CEO of Disney was often in this, also in this. And this was probably how I was going to become a movie star. Like, no. I do a couple – here, hear me out. I do a couple trades. He's like, this guy's amazing. He should be in the new Avengers. Like, I don't know how – like, if that's how things happen in Hollywood.
Usually.
I never lived there. You are friends with Air Bud. So I'm taking the lead from you. And I was like, he's probably – this is my come up. I'm going to meet Jay Shetty and be like, your eyes are beautiful. And then I'm going to get to be in a movie. And that's Rocket Ride. Rocket Ride.
Number one, never – speak irreverently about Jay Shetty's eyes. And number do you know Jesse Itzler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know him, but I know of him. Are you going to meet him too in this?
The thing is he's a fun follow because he just has this like the idea in his like world is to build your life resume. So he does all these crazy things. He was who I climbed that mountain with. He's awesome. Yeah. But he is in a fantasy league that he has been in for 20 years, and he just posted a picture of it 2 days ago. And in the league, it's Jay-Z, Chris Paul, Matt Berry, the guy who's the head of ESPN's fantasy sports. Like, he has this fantasy crew that is the envy of anyone who's ever played fantasy anything in their lifetime.
Don't tell me who they are, but just blink if there's famous people in this league. And I one of them, Zac Efron. Just, oh, come on, blink, Dave. Just one time. One Zac Efron football league? Is that too much to ask for?
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing. I want to be able to stay focused on putting together a great team, and I can't do anything if I'm distracted by Zefron's abs. I can't, so I'm not doing it.
That's fair. I mean, you want to really focus on the league, and I get that. That is fair. I'll accept that.
Do you think that Zac Efron works out, or do you think that he is a cyborg sent back from the future to look this way, or is it
like
just like naturally
future?
A
handsome future?
Just a very handsome future. Like, he is one of the most attractive. Like, he's fit, and it looks like he's just traveling world right now, enjoying his life.
Okay. Follow up question. Prettiest person, like, you're in a room and they change the temperature of the room. Like, I'm not saying loved ones, like my wife Heidi, but you know, I'm saying like you're with somebody and like it's like the entire temperature of the room changes. Like, oh, because there's a handful of people I've met that I'm like, you're from a different planet of pretty. Like I got street smarts handsomeness. Like, I can figure stuff out. I'm in a jam, I'm good. But like, somebody that you see them and you go, oh, that person is from like the Amazon rainforest of pretty. Like, when's the last time that happened?
It's a name drop, but I went to an event where George Clooney was there and there was something about like, and the thing is, it wasn't even I think he's a handsome feller.
Sure.
But there was like an air of confidence. There was like a swagger that I can only assume was kind of like what Sinatra would have been like walking into a room.
Okay.
And it's not that like it wasn't a cool spot before he walked in, but when he did, there was this like, oh, everyone in the room has just become a little less cool because the bar was just raised.
And they know where he is at all times. Like, there's a Clooney in this room, and I might not be able to see him, but I know he's in this space.
You're looking dead ahead, and you just have a sense, like, I think he's at like 4 o'clock, no, 6 o'clock. He's just directly behind. Like, at all times, you have a radar for it.
Mine is less famous, and no one will know this person. But when I was in college, I thought, I know how I'll meet girls. I'll be an assistant coach on a girls' flag football team. Thinking.
This sounds suspect at best, but keep going.
The mistake I made was the head coach was a male model named Heath, and he's one of my friends, but he is beautiful. And so I could have been on fire that entire season. No one saw me. Like, Heath eclipsed every, like, he was the kind of guy that when we would go out to, like, I don't know, discotheques, whatever we did in the 90s, he would wear like a ratty old white t-shirt, and we'd all get dressed up with like Dracar Noir, and he would be like, eh, throwing like whatever. And the club, like, he parted the Red Sea like Moses when we walked in places. And I tried to ride his success like a remora on the bottom of a shark, and it did nothing. It did nothing for me. But he's the person that whenever I think of that, I'm like, oh man, that dude changes the temp of the whole room. I love that example. That's so fair. Okay, next question, not related at all. Best mail you've received this month. In the last month, you got something in the mail and you were like, oh man, that's cool.
Well, I mean, I have in the window that I'm in, I, in the last month, got the first advanced reader copy of my book. So like seeing, it's not like the fully finished hardcover version, but like seeing that printed copy, forget it. Like that is, especially because, you know, like you pour everything into it. And it's an amazing thing to hold a thing that you've created when it's actually printed on paper. Yeah. So that's great. I actually, what's crazy is I recorded the audiobook on Monday and Tuesday, and man, I can't wait for people to hear me read the book to them. It was a very emotional experience because I don't know, like, of course I've read the entire book and editing a handful of times, but reading it in a single sitting, but then also like telling the stories out loud, where a lot of times I'm talking about the hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life, is it's just a super emotional thing.
Oh man.
I finished Tuesday night and I was just like, I'm done. I need like put a fork in me. I am done. I need to rest. This is bonkers. Yeah.
Did you get, was it one person in the booth? Like in the one sound engineer, or was it like multiple
sound
people?
Engineer and then a like a producer, and the producer was the guy that, like, you know, every 5 seconds, like, you know what, you stutter just a little bit, or you know start that sentence over. But it was cool. I actually recorded it in Willie Nelson's recording studio in Austin, Arlen. Yeah, so there was just like a vibe you could like sense the stuff that had happened there. And I probably got a contact high just from being in the building.
Did you say on the road again at any point? Like, were you tempted to be
100% every chance I got?
Yeah, every time I left, I would have been like, hey guys, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm on the road again. Like, just, you know, like, you got to know when to fold. No, that's Kenny Rogers. I'm thinking of somebody different. Oh, okay. Follow-up question about the book. Is it true that my endorsement is on the front cover? Like, it's kind of like, there's a starburst, like it's splashed. I'm assuming that's where it is. Is that where you guys?
Yes, that is correct. It's just, it's instead of the title, it's just the quote from you as a thing to try and draw the audience in. So yes.
Okay, here's my next question. This is not really a question so much as it is a statement. I'm going to score our friendship based on how many people are above me in the list of endorsers. Like, if I get the book and I open it, I open the first three pages and it's like, you know, famous lady who used to babysit you, you know, your veterinarian, and then John Acuff. Take it, like, if I'm the caboose of those endorsements.
Oh, I'm so worried now because I have no idea what the order is or how the order was determined.
I know how it's determined. You start with the most famous and you work your way down. So
is that how it works?
Yes, you know how it works. Don't you lie to these people. These people turn in for truth, Dave. Truth and chuckles. That's what people want. Truth and chuckles.
If it was about the way I felt about people, you'd be on the cover.
Who's the alderman now? Who's the alderman now? What a political answer.
What is an alderman? We have to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, it's so good, dude. I love this. And people get to see behind the scenes of what it's like to be on the edge of celebrity. That's where I feel like I am, on the edge. You know, just kind of looking in, hearing stories about George Clooney. I'm telling you a story about a flag football coach from college. I love the difference between those two humans.
They're the same story.
They're both made of human. They're both made of people. Like, on the
we
inside,
were driving
we're
in the car. We were driving in the car, and, you know, we're like a year in at this point in dating, and there's still a weird inability for us to recognize this truth that we as human beings have to poop. At times, yeah, sure. I'm sorry if I'm yeah. spoiler alerted.
Was not on the list,
and I had to like say like there was this guy in high school that I just thought the world of. His name was Jared, and he was the most popular person in school. He dated people when I couldn't even speak to women, and like I just thought the world of him. And I was having a really like self-talk troubled kind of day, and my mom actually just dropped this little piece of wisdom. She's like, you know, Jared Lawrence poops. And I was like, wow, you're right. Yeah. We're all the same. And yeah. so, you know what? George Clooney,
yeah.
flag football coach, me.
That'd be a funny t-shirt.
As far as I know, Heidi, but I also can't confirm it. Like, that just theoretically, all of us. Yeah. So we're all like just all on the same level, you know?
That would be a specific motivational t-shirt if it said Jared Lawrence poops. Like, because, and
trust.
Eventually you'd get back to him. Like, eventually he'd find out and you'd have an awkward Facebook message.
I wish that I'd use a different last name because I don't want people flooding his accounts to find out if it's true.
It's a like that would be really weird for people from Instagram to ask all the people named Jared Lawrence. Now, be honest, that's Jennifer Lawrence's brother. This is really a story about Jennifer Lawrence, right? Is this
so? Anyway, this one time, Jennifer and I were driving in the backwoods.
I call her Jen Jen. I'm sorry, that's a nickname a lot of people don't know. But when you've met her as many times as I have, I love this. I love this. I love this. Okay, into the conversation. Let's do shameless plug. Give your shameless plug. I'll give mine.
Cool. If you are not yet, jump into the community. We are now 5 weeks into this 90 Days of Courage. It's a part of the pre-sale incentive for my book, Built Through Courage, that comes out October 26th. When you pre-order the book, you get a Finding Your Why course, a resilience and mindset course, and 13 weeks of coaching with me. This week, we dove into your personal values. How do you set them so you stay away from the things that might throw you off track? And the community's got 6,000 humans in it. I want you to
Amazing.
Be one of them. Jump in and be part of this community. Just go to MrDaveHollis.com/book. Pre-order the book. Support the big guy. And then immediately I'm going to give you like $500 worth of value for saying yes to the support. So
well,
there you
here's,
go.
Let me back you up on that. And you should tell people this constantly. The reason pre-orders matter, the reason that pre-orders matter to Dave is that Amazon can't order a ton of every book. So they carry very narrow margin. So when you pre-order, it tells the buyer at Amazon, oh, we need to buy more of this, because the worst thing that could happen to Dave is at midnight, the day before the book comes out, as it changes to 1201, it goes out of stock because nobody orders an out of stock book. So when you pre-order his book, you're doing him a tremendous kindness because it's telling Amazon and buyers, hey, we need to keep this in stock. So that's why it matters. That's why Dave continues, like most people don't know that. 99% yep. of people don't know that.
Huge.
Continue to tell that because it's huge, huge, huge. My shameless plug, I have an amazing podcast called All It Takes Is a Goal, where I interview people about the goals they're working on, and it is hilarious and helpful. And I would love if you went and listened to my podcast. There we go. Shameless plug. Friday.
Who was on this week? It was I saw it. I saw it this morning in your feed.
Rory
Who was
Vaden,
on?
Right?
Rory yeah, Vaden. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rory Vaden, about why you need a personal brand, even if you're not going to be an influencer or on kind of the far fringe of celebrity. You need your personal brand matters. If you have a job, you have a personal brand. If you have a head, you have a personal brand. So yeah, awesome. Don't expect a suit next week, but expect some truth and chuckles. I don't know that that's our tagline, but that's going to happen.
I also, by the way, I got the cut of me coming over and taking over your house, and they did a fantastic job. There's even like intro music before we go through and show everyone all the Legos in your office there.
Oh,
it's
good.
Really incredible.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. I know they left a lot of our bodybuilder discussion on the cutting room floor, but that's part when you make art, then you know, like you make an omelet, there's eggs that get broken. It's part of
course.
What, part of what happens. So all right,
dude.
Love you, Dave.
Love you too, brother. Have a good weekend.
See you, buddy.